And now we're going to reflect on the gospel for this feast, on the solemnity of the body and blood of the Lord. And it comes from John 6, as you would probably suspect, verses 51 to 58. I want to say just a word about the division of the text before we move on. This whole text, from the minute our Lord begins to speak, is about himself. Up to verse 50, it's about his faith. Our faith in him is what I meant to say. And it's about the work. Remember how they ask him, what are the works we should do? And he says what? This is the work of God. One work. That you believe in the one whom he sent. That's the one work. But it's the work of God, which means what? It's the work of God in you. And you yield to it. You don't create it. It's a gift to believe. And if we will let that come in and let it be a fire, an energy, you see, we will live by the word. Now, this first part of the text, up to verse 50, talks about Jesus, this part of the discourse, not the whole thing, talks about Jesus as wisdom. Or put it this way, it talks about the body and blood of Jesus as wisdom. It's the body and blood of Jesus with wisdom overtones. Then we get to this part, and it's the body and blood of Jesus directly. And there are wisdom overtones, but now there's a whole different kind of promise. Now you can tell the difference, as our editors have done very well here. You see, up to verse 50, every time our Lord describes himself, he describes himself as the bread of life. Huh? Artos tis sois. Starting in verse 51, he calls himself the living bread. That's his significance. You see, has come down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And that's where our text starts. So now remember, as Vatican II tells us, when the gospel is read out in church at the liturgy, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. So it's not the deacon or the priest, it's Christ. And what is he saying to us? I am the living bread, come down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Wow. St. Irenaeus, I probably have it in this collection of patristic sayings, St. Irenaeus says, do you understand what that means? It's impossible for a body into whom the body and blood of Christ has come, unless that person turns from Christ, even though he die and his body be corrupt, it's impossible that it stay corrupt, because it has been touched by the living, eternal, divinized body of Christ. Every time we receive communion, we can tell the Lord, thank you for making me immortal. Even though I'll die, I know I will live forever, and I'll live forever with this body into which you have just come. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to try to explain, as far as we can explain these things. Why did he do this? Why did he want to be that much a part of us, physically? You see, this and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, yes, I'm the wisdom of God. And just as the whole scriptures, Old and New Testament, tell you, take in the wisdom of God. Now, overtly, I said it already, but now overtly I'm telling you, take me in physically into your body. I love you that much. And the text is going to tell us that in just a minute. And when I get there, I'm going to try to stop and explain. Huh? It starts in verse 57. So now it's his flesh for the life of the world. That means his whole being throbbing with divine life. This is the resurrected and ascended body of Christ. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can he give us his flesh to eat? Jesus doesn't back down. He said to them, if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you can have no life in you. Now, let's go back, if you can remember, way back to chapter 1. The last of those revelation scenes on the next day. That last one, Nathanael comes along, and Jesus says, there is a Israelite in whom there is no guile. Nathanael says, how do you know me? Well, before he called you, I saw you under the fig tree. That so impresses him. You're the Son of God. You're the, and he said, you, now it's plural you will see greater things than this. You will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Because I am, you remember there's an allusion to Jacob's dream. The angels are ascending and descending on the rock which became the altar of a temple. So he's saying, I'm the new temple. I'm the new place. And so, I'm the Son of Man. I have come down from heaven to feed you, to teach you, and to give you my own body and blood so that you can share my life as intimately as is absolutely possible. And this is a promise of a deeper share when we're together in heaven. And that's what he's promising us, you see? So if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you can have no life in you. But this is a challenge. Not just a physical act. It has to be a spiritual act. I think I've told you this before. Back in my day, when we were getting ready for the priesthood, they gave us this case to solve. Suppose you're saying Mass, and a little mouse comes along, and he picks up one of the hosts, and he runs away, and he eats it. Does he receive the body and blood of the Lord? Absolutely, that's what it is. Does he receive the sacrament? No. He has no brains. He has no faith. So we got to watch it. You know, am I a man or a mouse? You know, do I receive it? And that's what he's saying here, you see. Eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Really do that with your own body, with your own mouth, but also with your spirit. I want to feed on you. Okay. The one eating my flesh and drinking my blood has eternal life. And that's why I will raise him up on the last day, because his body cannot stay corrupt forever. It has been animated by my body. So my flesh is true food. Okay? Now, true in John doesn't oppose false so much as incomplete. All other food keeps your body going for 60, 70, 80 years, and then you run out of gas. Because it's not true, it's food, but not true food. My body is true food. It'll keep you alive forever. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Now he gives this reason. The one eating my flesh and drinking my blood abides in me, and I in him. And now we're going to get the secret. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so the one eating me, taking me in, will live by me. Now, how does he live by the Father? The Father gives himself totally to him. That's why he's Son from all eternity, right? This is the Trinity come down to our level, if you want. You see, as the living Father sent me, I live by the Father. From all eternity, I live by the Father because of that gift, total gift. Now, I want you to live by me. But now we have bodies, you and I. So our gift has to be a body gift. I want to give you my whole self, my body and my blood, so that you will live by me as I live by the Father. Be fascinated by me as I am by the Father. live by me, have your whole point of reference, me and my life. And so you will live by me. Do you see how this gift between the Father and the Son is repeated on our level? This incredible generosity is here, because suppose he said, well, I give myself to you entirely. And you say, well, thank you very much. But you're a body and I'm a body. And so he said, no, you don't get it. I give you my body and my blood. Just as the Father gave me all of his being, so I give you all of my being. And that's why, you see, the one eating me, that one will live by me. It's the Trinity come down, and that same rhythm of total gift and life by that total gift, that's the Eucharist. And when we're in heaven, we won't need that physical, because it'll be the physical contact in the light of glory. Our whole bodies will be living by the same lumen as his body. So every time we receive communion, we are getting a foretaste of how the Trinity is going to bring us right into the heart of their life. And so, this is the bread come down from heaven. Not as the fathers ate and are dead, the one eating this bread will live forever. Just don't stop eating it. Don't turn from me in sin. Keep eating it, and you will live forever. I promise you. And it will be the gift that I give you from my body and my blood. Now, I want to just give you a couple of examples, especially this beautiful text. The fathers of the church knew all this by mystical experience. You see, these texts come off the page for them, and it's the reality that penetrates their spirit, not just the words. Now, this is what Clement of Alexandria says. God elaborates on a suitable and wholesome new diet for the newly formed and newborn babe. So we're little babies, we need food, right? He says it consists of the one who nourishes and who is the father of all that are generated and regenerated. Just as manna, the celestial food of angels, flowed down from heaven on the ancient Hebrews. But when our kind and loving Father rained down the word, he himself became spiritual nourishment to the good because of the union between the Father and the Son. You see, this is a truly amazing mystery, because this is the kind of diet the Lord administers. He offers his flesh and pours out his blood so that nothing is lacking for his children's growth. This is almost too much to take in. Are they, and then, are we to throw out the old and carnal corruption, our old diet, and receive in exchange a totally new diet, Christ himself, as we ingest him for him to remain hidden there? Then with our Savior enshrined as our souls, as it were, we can correct the affections of our flesh, because now his flesh is informing our flesh. So all the drives of our flesh, all the emotions, all the hatreds, all the dislikes, all the sensuality, all the whatever. No. You see, we don't live by that anymore. We live by the flesh of Christ informing our flesh, even in this life. That's what he's saying. And that's why he says, you know, this is truly an amazing mystery, you see? This is almost too much to take in. He wants us to be so much like him. Do you understand? He loves us that much. This is the gift of love. Here, take me, eat me, drink me, be in me, let me be in you, and you be in me, so that together we can live forever. Amen.